the amount of money that goes to that community. Another option would be to contract with another county who has beds. So it is a net gain. How it works out in each community will depend a little bit on what services they have and how they propose to use them.
My concern, I guess, is, or caution would be that we not, if there is $7 million that we're asking for almost here in money, that we're not going to risk any existing programs or options that are available to local jurisdictions by not. What I'm concerned about here is that if in fact we've got an additional $2 million or something we can put into, or $1 million we can put into a separate fund, that's fine, as long as we don't take away from what we've already got planned to do here. I don't want to shift money because we've already got things going, and I think those have to be maintained. Some of them may, in fact, some of these monies, these $7 million, may be, quote, you know, unappropriated, and brand new type of money, but I don't want to remove those if they're going to be options there for existing programs. I think we have to be careful that if we're going to create a fund, that it is really, in fact, different money, if you would.
That was the reason for my question about whether it duplicated or not. And I think that we find that it doesn't, and it would be very useful to have such a fund. I think that's what we're finding out. And we're not proposing necessarily to reduce the amounts you've asked for in your decision packages. Wondering if you think in terms of all of the things on this list, the first two decision packages obviously affect the community program. There are other decision packages down the list that also do. What about number 12, for instance? What that's a long ways down the list. What does that 322
buy? Essentially, number 12, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, essentially purchases two program executive staff for the Department of Corrections in the Community Services Division, and one clerical person, and allows some resources to be able to complete our jail inspections, which we're required to do and have, to this date, not really been funded to do. That, in my opinion, gives us, gives the department the money that is required and the staff that's required in order to manage community corrections programs and manage other special projects that we put out on RFP, to be able to do the monitoring, the auditing, the evaluating, setting up the standards that we expect statewide from both community corrections and field services offices, to essentially put in place what we think is required to bring the system into the kind of compliance and move it in the direction that I think this committee and also the advisory board and the governor's task force recommended.
How about number 9?
Number 9 does some of the same. It does a different thing, but it is management for the field. I think that if you look at the governor's task force report, it repeatedly says in numerous portions of Chapter 7 and 8 that essentially field services has suffered for a long time with a lack of management. What it does is it provides two hearings officers. We have at least two supervisors right now who do hearings full-time and therefore are not available to do any supervising duties. It provides a management structure in the two largest counties, which at this point don't have a management structure really at all. That's Lane and Multnomah County, and it takes 12 existing first-line supervisors in medium and small counties, which are currently being paid out of class today in our current budget, and reclassifies them so that they would be branch managers and supervisors. And it's clear that that's not additional people. It just actually puts them in the classification that we're currently paying them out of class to work in, and they would still continue to be first-line supervisors as well as run the offices in those communities.
Okay. Thank you. All right, I think now we just need to deal as a subcommittee with the possible all the suggestions we have. We have a prioritized list from the department amounting to $15.9 million of general fund. We have additional suggestions both from Diane Luther and from Senator Cohen, and for other things that we might add to this list. I'm wondering what the members had a chance to think in terms of what it is they would like to see on the list. Mr. Co-Chair, we welcome you to take part in this.
If I might just ask one question of Kay, and so I can bring in a better perspective, at least from my memory.
Sure.
On the board over there, you have the different new beds coming online at a particular time, and that money for that particular time through the next biennium be reserved in the emergency board. But that is not all of the new beds. There are some other new beds. Did you expect, for instance, at the State Penn, that segregation unit, when did you have that coming online?
That's figured in.
Next biennium.
The next biennium, okay. I was just going through the list from my memory. So that when we're taking a look at what we've really hard new beds coming in this current biennium, the only new beds that would come in would be the possibility of Clackamas.
That is a possibility.
That possibility. The possibility of Hauser.
Hauser is pretty much budgeted for what is reasonable to expect.
Yeah.
Sunderland could come on a little earlier, and I would assume, Representative Gilmore, that it would be funded out of that 4.2.
Okay.
That reserve is for population management and or any of the fast track facilities that come on earlier than we anticipated in the operating budget.
Okay, I think what the bottom line, Mr. Chairman, is taking a look at is just the fact that in when we're putting together the budget, and then we're putting together, obviously, there's going to be a reservation for the new beds that would come online, that we make sure that the committee understands that money is going to be, for the new beds possibly coming online, is going to be reserved in the emergency fund. And that the budget basically states for that which is in existence today.
Or, Mr. Chairman.
Or what's being built and will come into existence during that.
We have assumed in the budget itself, not in the reservation.
Right.
No. The reservations assume none of the money for Hauser or Sunderland are in the budget. They
That's
are in
the
reservations.
Point. Right. All
That's
of the
correct.
New possible beds are in the reservation.
Correct.
First
yes.
thing, correct? And the amount of money right off the top for the budget is the current existing beds.
That is correct.
Okay.
Now, there's not operational costs for the new facilities as they come on the line in addition to the beds.
It's at the bottom of
the 4.0.
This number here goes into the operating budget, and it includes Outer River starting
right.
in November.
Right.
It includes as an emergency use of bed space up front, the continuing the Bay Area Work Release Center, and some additional dorm units, temporary dorm units at EOCI. Then it assumes 100% use of all the other beds in the system as of today.
Okay. Now, I guess I have one question now of the corrections people. Under this current system that we're working out right at this moment, how much money do you have reserved in your budget for bed space that could be rented? If, for instance, somebody called you today and said, we have 100 beds, do you have money in the current budget for that?
In the current budget?
Rest of this biennium.
No, I'm sorry, not this. the top line.
Okay.
You have no money involved in that whatsoever.
So this is
okay. No, I'm talking about the rented beds.
Yeah, that's correct.
That's the 4.2.
That's the 4.2. Then the operating for the residents in Hauser and Sutherland are in the reservation? Or is that just building?
This is operating for Hauser and Sutherland.
Operating.
The building is in the fast track, Mr. Chairman.
And the
4.2
okay.
is the 4.2. The 4.0, and this is a conservative estimate of mm-hmm. when they will come online.
Okay.
As the originally projected. This number here is for the balance of beds between what is in the existing budget and what the projection is, or this is the estimating error reserve,
okay.
essentially. And what this funds is either these facilities coming on that line faster
mm-hmm.
than anticipated, or rental beds.
Mm-hmm. Or some other other
or some other way.
Another option.
Okay. Now, there was a, Mr. Chairman, there was a little reasoning in my madness for the questions of which I was concerned.
Sure.
Several people have came to me recently, and they're very concerned about the cost in Oregon per bed. And I'm sure that is a grave problem that they're working with the corrections. Because when you're talking anywhere from $60 to $70 per bed, and you take a look around the state and what we're doing in other areas of human resources for cost of bed, it's extremely high. Okay? The thought that some have is how we can bring that cost per bed down, and whether or not the committee is taking a look at this wish list above and beyond, how that will influence the cost per bed in a reduction, whether it be through industries or however, that there is some thought to putting a priority on the fact that we can try to bring some of this cost per bed down, which frees up some other money, obviously. And that other money that would be freed up would go into not a further drain, but would go into when these other places come online. And, you know, that's management, creative management. You know, and I think the committee does not want to lose sight of that, because this is not an endless pit.
I think that's why we're thinking about the 30,000 additional people out in the communities.
That's right.
Wanting to keep them there with good community programs that cost much less.
That's right.
Than locking up in a prison.
Well, I'm just the cost of $60 to $70 a day for operating costs. Where did you get that number from, Gilmore? That's a new one on me. That's way above what I understand our operating current operating
is
costs
it?
Are.
65 has been a figure used.
That's a federal
rental. Is that rental bed? Okay.
Federal rental form, it's about 45.
Okay, I stand.
I mean, that may be too high, okay. But I don't think it's 60 or 70.
Right. Yeah,
it's a little.
Well,
high.
I stand corrected on that figure, but you know the theory still is the fact that if we develop our industries and develop our community deals better, that would continue bringing the cost down.
Okay. Wonder now if, let's talk just a little bit about the industries program and EOCI especially, because I know Senator Thorne is concerned, and he suggested that there was a kind of master plan for EOCI and that maybe we needed to hear about that. And so who's prepared to talk to us about that? Especially the industry's program for EOCI. Is there anybody here who can do that?
Fred Nichols is here,
hey,
Mr. Chair, if you'd like to bring him up.
We are really putting a lot of people into EOCI just very quickly without adequate programs for them, and this industry's building is being built, and we want to make sure it goes online quickly and it's ready and so forth. So tell me how that fits into this priority list.
Mr. Chairman, I'm Fred Nichols, Industries Director. We have two priorities. One was for equipment and first-year staffing costs, and that was split up between Priority 4 and Priority 14.
4 and 14.
What we are saying is that if we...
Now, if you look at the 14 and 4... You have industries expansion, you have the same amount of money as in 14, up there in 4. Is that just a strange coincidence, or does that mean the same thing?
Mr. Chairman, we have one decision package. I guess it boiled down to one decision package of equipment and first-year cost for staffing, and that was a number. And during the priority process, it was split in half so that... We're trying to get at least
half of it up here and half of it down there.
That is correct.
Okay. So we'd really need to add the 584 in to that if we covered all of the industries that you wanted.
Right.
Okay. Now, is this 584 down in 14, is that which will buy the equipment for that building at EOCI?
There's no distinguishing.
There's no distinguishing.
Just cut it right in half, right in
there. I see. So you don't know what...
Mr. Chair, the priority would be to ensure that the operations at EOCI are on parity with the other institutions, both in industries and then in the other packages for security staff. So that would be the priority, to ensure that there is a uniform system in industries throughout the system without one institution being lower or higher than the others.
Okay. But we do know, and the testimony that came before the committee, that somehow or other there was not within the budget, fast-track money for the industries building, not the money to provide the equipment to get it started in the textile business that they intend to have there. So where do we find that money? If we buy a package four, do we find that money? Or if do we have to buy 4 and 14 to find that money?
No, Mr. Chair, that money would come out of four.
It would
in
come
order
out
to
four.
Ensure that we have an operating program at Eastern Oregon.
Tell me, what about the master plan for EOCI? We haven't really seen that, have we? Senator Thorne thought we needed maybe to hear about it.
Mr. Chair, I've spoken with the co-chair, and I think he understands that we're on about a two-week timetable as of last week to try to get that finalized. Director Peirce, I think, is almost in daily contact with the institution, and they're proceeding at pace.
I see. So you're not ready to talk about
that? We're not ready, but we're, I think, we believe last week that it was 2 weeks at the outside. So I think by next week.
Okay. So you could come and talk to us about it at some stage down the line. Okay. I know Senator Thorne is concerned about that. He asked us to ask you about it. So I think we should hear about it.
Yeah,
Mike, go ahead, Len.
I'd like to follow up on your question to the corrections on the industries at EOCI. Now, Mike just assured us that you can get by with half the loaf and that will do the job. What happens if you come back next session, they gave you half the loaf and it didn't take you as far as we were kind of indicated today that it might take you? Are we then going to be in a difficult position and saying, well, do we turn around and pump more money in again and try to get it going? Or do you really honestly think you can do it? I would rather you tell me you can't do it for a half a loaf and ask for the whole loaf than to try to tell me you can get by on a half a loaf and you can't do it.
Now, Mr. Chairman, Senator Hannon, the way, I guess the risk involved is that we can buy the equipment and we will have the building. We will have positions that are unfunded. And the risk that we are taking by not putting both packages together is that we can recruit the inmates, recruit the staff, train the inmates, and get production up where we can make enough money that first year to cover our supervisory cost. The original plan was to guarantee that we would not be coming back to you because we couldn't get production and productivity up and market developed fast enough to cover all our startup costs. So we would be taking risk, again, let me repeat myself, that we will have all the equipment in place that we need with priority four. We will recruit positions and we'll bring in 10 inmates. We will train them for a month or two, bring in another 10 inmates, get them trained in a little less time, and then we'll keep bringing inmates in as we develop market and as we develop the training of those inmates. There is going to be some turnover in inmates after we train them. They aren't going to leave. And what would be the safest thing to do is to make sure that we're not trying to start a program, train inmates, and have to pay supervisory costs all at the same time. I don't know if that's clear. I won't.
Mike, did you want to add something?
Mr. Chair, just a quick explanation to further that comment. What we've got is a situation, as the Chair has mentioned, of a difficult priority-setting process. And when the Department went through and set priorities, it was determined that one half of industry that was an absolute requirement to have. The second half is also needed, but as Fred has pointed out, there you have a risk, and there's a possibility of covering it through private funds or through developing the productivity in order to cover it. So looking at the risks and the potentials and the areas where you have some option of covering it, such as this, this decision was to put it rather low on the priority list. The department still would very much push saying that we need the funds, but there's a potential backup here is all we're saying, and that's why it's low on the list. Where low things on the list have some potential backup or something that may occur, but we are taking a risk, as Senator Hannon just pointed out.
Okay. Senator Hannon?
Okay.
No. Anybody else? Questions? Okay. Well, I think that's fairly Now I think we just simply need to try to decide how we want to proceed. I'd like to suggest something and then just have the committee members bounce it around. It seems to me that at least down to item 7 or 8, we have some very, very essential, very important things down this list. And I like the order. The order is fine that's there. What I would like to put into that list, in addition, would be the suggestion of Senator Cohen, the Community Alternatives Fund at $1.6 million, to add that in and then go about down to item 7 with our recommendations. Now, please, what do the rest of you want to do? That's the chair's suggestion as to where we go. Kay, can you total it for us down that far?
You wanted to add the item that Senator Cohen...
Yes.
Between 2 and 3.
Yeah, right. Community Alternatives Funds of 1.6.
So then you want to come down to 7.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Please, the rest of you, tell me what you want.
Mike, let me just ask, what you've drawn the line at item 7.
Yeah. For no good reason except just not knowing how much money we have to spend outside the expenditure limitation.
Well, I was wondering, is there any particular reason why we simply can't leave the list like it is and add on to it and then just wait and see what happens?
Well, that's
because I don't have any problem with any of these.
That's a possibility.
And the priority.
I've been trying to get some suggestion from the co-chairs as to how much money we had to deal with.
No,
whether
I understand
the whole amount or some part of it or some little amount, and I've gotten no suggestion. So I just. Suggested right here. The total amount that I'm suggesting, Kay, is about what, 11
it's,
million?
It's about 12.6 to 13.
Okay. Now, Mike is suggesting maybe we go the whole way, plus adding Senator Cohen's amount into it.
I'm very strongly in favor of some additional funds for community sanctions, and I would just, your figure was 1.6. I keep coming up with 1.88, but that's... So if we can move it, and maybe I've just come up with a different set of numbers.
We also have the suggestion of Diane Luther about dealing with the those who are mentally ill within the system and within the community, and we haven't really included that in here because, as I understand it, the Community Alternatives Fund that Senator Cohen is suggesting really doesn't deal with that.
It's so $1,103,000 between the two bills,
yeah.
And I'd like to see them on the list.
Okay, so you'd like to see those on the list? Okay. What's the rest of your thinking?
Well, Mr. Chairman, it's kind of hard to sit here today and say, let's decide down to item 7. I like the approach that Representative Burton said, let's at least include all these things on the list, and then let's try to get a determination from the co-chairs or someone that what we can anticipate going down, how far on the level. I think that as we add these things, you just added community alternatives in there between 2 and 3. Now we have to determine where is mental health going to be fitting in here, and where is that going to take its place on the itemized list, and how far are we going to get down with those?
We stay with the 15 items, and we add items. We can then determine where we put them along the part of the order, if that's what you want to do. Is it the consensus that we stay with the 15 items already here, decision package items, in the order that they're there, except we may substitute, put some things within the order? Is that okay? Go ahead.
Chairman, thank you. I kind of go along with Representative Burton. The our people out there that's been working on this real hard and put these in as they think that they're needed as far as priority. And me as a layperson to come in, unless I've got some pet project that I want, I think I just don't feel that I'm capable of telling them that they've arranged these here as far as priorities are concerned. We're talking about, how much. Now then, the other thing is, if we get some money out or inside of the expenditure limitation, even regardless of what Speaker Katz said a while ago, then we would need to go back and prioritize the list if there's any money there. And if you get all that, well, then that's something different, he'd just take the whole dang sheet and run with it then, I suppose.
I don't think we're likely to get any money within the expenditure limitation. Actually, what we're asking for is a little bit beyond what the co-chairs in the co-chairs budget had allocated to us.
Well,
so I don't see that we're likely to get much within the expenditure.
I can appreciate that, Mr. Chairman, that you that's your feeling, and it's probably right. Except that there's several things that could happen between now and the time we adjourn.
Absolutely.
And whether we use some of the money, which has been suggested, that's outside of the expenditure limitation for property tax relief, which would possibly free up some other money that's already there. And they haven't, and the general public has not voted in the school package yet, you must remember.
Yeah, that's right. There are a lot of uncertainties.
There's a lot of things, and I'm not going to get committed here.
I just wanted to follow up on this discussion just a little bit, and I guess it's all how we package things. Okay, is it the committee's understanding that the 7.9 is within the limitation for a reservation? Has the committee thought of the possibility, and this is only in packaging, but of taking a look at this list and what they think the priorities are, which would equal that amount, and put that amount outside the limitation based upon what we don't know yet? And that is what the limit change could be. And those things aren't real at this moment. These things are real at this moment with the current, it's an idea you might want to ponder a little bit. It might also make it a little more sellable with some particular people, knowing that those are new, real hard beds, and these are things in the current budget that this committee thinks are a priority, if I make myself clear.
The only question here, if I could, Mr. Chairman, that the 7.9, which would be reserved for Hauser or Sunderland, in the event that we don't get those beds on in time for some reason, if Hauser goes to the
Wolves.
McKinney Act or whatever the heck they're going to use it for, Wolves. And for some reason Sunderland suddenly springs a leak out there in the wetlands or whatever, and we can't build it, the need for those beds then on capacity changes considerably, because what you're assuming here is that those, at least the Hauser coming on, then that would increase our need for population management resources. That money would have to drop there. So how would that affect it if we were to do what the co-chair is suggesting, putting it outside? Does that create a greater tension on the need to perhaps go out and find more rental beds or something in order to make up for what we may not have come on board, if that in fact does not happen?
We need all the space we're paying for and more.
Yeah.
If you don't get that space online, you've just got a tremendous population problem you've got to pay for somewhere.
Assuming the guidelines.
Yeah, assuming the guidelines, and without the guidelines, who knows? We'll have probably more population.
Mr. Chairman, and that brings it back to a full circle. Yeah. And what we're talking about is pure politics. You know, if people in this legislature want more beds for putting more prisoners in, then we're going to have to find the money for it. We have current beds right now and current structures right now that there is a definite need with this list on things that we should be doing in industries, we should be doing in classification information systems to currently run the structure at this moment that are not in the current budget. And the theory behind what I was saying is the fact that if the people that are elected really want those new beds, then they're going to have to take a look at how we're going to pay for them versus what the need is with the current beds and the current structure right now as the correction of officials are here asking for.
I understand. I think on the basis of politics, you're right. I'm mechanically trying to figure something out.
Well, and I don't disagree with that.
You're saying the 7.9 and the 4.2 would be placed out. That would get us 12 million inside. Take these, which are needed now as real things. That then becomes a outside the lid question, if we get to the, or outside expenditure limit, if we get to that.
And that's a decision the body will make based upon if they want to exceed a limit, modify a limit, or whatever that term is to be.
It's a full-page ad in Regoni Day that says you can spend the same.
Yeah.
Well,
that's right. Let's think about the process we have underway, which is prioritizing these things. We then can consider, I think, at some point, how we do that and whether we use some of the money to pay for these things within the budget rather than paying to reserve monies for the beds and so forth. We can do that. But let's think in terms of the priority. Is it basically your belief that the 15 items here, the decision packages, you want to see funded if we can find the money to fund them, right?
16.
Okay, 15, and then we're going to add.
Oh, okay. We're
going to add. Okay. And what we would like to add probably is item 3, 1, 2, a new 3 would be the Community Alternatives Fund. Is that, anybody object to doing that?
Call that
2A. Would be 1.6. Call it 2A. Okay, we'll call it, well, why don't we number it, because then we can get let's call it 2A. That makes sense. Okay, call it 2A. We've got a 1 and a 2, and we've got a 2A of 1.6.
Well,
how about 3 all the way down? Any additional things? What about the proposal of Diane Luther for mental health treatments for people who have mental health problems within the system? What figure would we have on that, Diane? How much is that?
Our proposal, Mr. Chair, boy, we're at 9 million.